You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, Wakeys. It's Wednesday already. Holy crap, it's moving fast. Light speed. Busy shoe today. Mayor Ed Honey from Marana is calling in, and he's a little fired up about Katie Hobbs closing the federal prison in Marana.
I'm going to close the prison. That's the way I'm going to reduce the prison population.
She's a big racist, Katie, and so she's going to do that, and I have some other things that might not be
thoughts
that aren't have to do with budget, because Katie doesn't do budgets usually. Math is hard. And her other buddy who does math as hard is Rahina Romero. I think there's a little bit of hit back on this a little bit for Mayor Ed being a stone in the shoe of the city of Tucson when it comes to RTA.
I like stones in the shoe or speed bumps. Ask Sharon Bronson.
Thank you very much. So we'll talk about that and why he's fired up. The other thing he should be fired up, I was telling him yesterday on the phone, is as they start pulling everyone off of the lines in Nogales on the crossing, all those Christmas shoppers, if those waits because of illegal immigrants get up to 2-3 hours, what'll happen is people may not come. They say, well, that's a pain in the butt, right? Well, that's lots of money that should be spent at an outlet mall that would generate sales taxes for Marana. So that's going to be a mess as we get into Christmas shopping season.
So you're saying the governor doesn't, and her administration don't understand business and commerce?
Well, I'm sure they do. I mean, I'm sure Zach and Michael will come talk to them and educate her.
Of course. That's what business advocacy organizations are all about, Chris.
A member of the chamber gave me
taking governmental roadblocks away.
A member of the chamber. I tell you, it's one of the best lines I've ever heard about the chamber. And Matt, it's going to sound racy, but we're okay a little bit.
Oh, okay.
All the Tucson chamber reminds me of a guy, guys who just want access to the best dominatrixes possible to beat the hell out of them. Oh, but we get access to Rahina. Well, let me kick you in the groin one more time. That's great, but I got access to get kicked in the groin. Yeah. Mission accomplished. So we're going to have Mayor Ed. Then Mike Zinkin will be here talking about Oro Valley. We're going to be talking about water, budget, and, of course, I want to talk a little bit about the redevelopment of the big Oro Valley marketplace. The first stages of that was approved at the last meeting, so we'll talk about that. And then our friends Ken and Donna Cousineau, two of our awesome listeners, did their first honor flight.
Yeah.
And they're going to come in and talk about their experience doing Honor Flight just in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Yep.
So we'll do that. Tomorrow is Schweikert, Andy Biggs, and the Tucson Boys Chorus. We got that for talking about their Christmas concert. And Matt's got tickets to give away for that concert on the 16th. And then John Post from the Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express will be here on Friday. Fatima will be here from Inca's Peruvian celebrating her 14th anniversary.
Hey, all right.
And then Mark's going to be doing deep track Christmas movies. Not the typical, the Wonderful Life, the Die Hards, the Elf, you know, those kind of things.
Nice of you to slip Die Hard in there.
Thank you very much. Let's do a quick rundown of where we might go today in between interviews.
You triggered Mark just now. You triggered Mark Van Buren just by saying that.
He just spit his cafe.
Definitely a fun clip. I put that clip on the best of a couple weeks ago.
And, oh, yeah. Too good.
It's a good debate. I think it's not a Christmas movie, but I love having the debate. And of course,
did you see that YouTube that Hoffman posted about why?
So I haven't seen it yet, but I did take note of it. I think he sent it to me, or yeah, he put it on YouTube or on Facebook, right?
Yep. Give it a look-see.
Yeah, no, I can have the debate all day long. It's a fun debate. When it all comes down, I don't think it's a Christmas movie. Right. But it's okay. Right. It's all right. Yeah. I'm not triggered by people who say it is. I can give you, I have given you several arguments why it is. Santa is a ho, ho, ho. What is more Christmassy than that?
That makes it a Santa Claus.
We're not here to resurrect the argument.
All right, here we go. Arizona is completely overrun by a new wave of illegal immigrants. We got that going for us.
And Adelita's going off for more money. Because that's the solution, Chris. More money is the solution, not securing the border or...
We're going to tie that story that you sent out with the story you sent out 2 days ago from the Daily Mail about incidences at the border we'll show you the mental disconnect here. The mayor of Chicago is blaming right-wing extremists for the city's problems with violence.
That was good. I did see that.
The White House Christmas tree decided to pull a Joe Biden and fall down.
I see what you did there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was just talking to a friend of ours about the Rosalind Carter funeral. And I like how when Rosalind passed away, that she's... She said she was outspoken. I never knew. I didn't know she said anything. I thought she was just a nice, seemed to be like a nice lady. Someone can tell me what Rosalind Carter was outspoken about. I'd love to hear it. But he was talking about how you had these really old guys who are your, you know, ex-presidents, right? And then you look at it and you go, oh, one of them's the current president. And you're like, he looks worse than Bush. We're going to do a little bit, hopefully, of this Valerie Cavazos story. It's really been a multi-part story about this guy, Michael Moynihan, who's the guy with mental illnesses. And
oh, boy.
It's kind of a mess. The Budster does a RTA story that is replete with coverage like you would never see, and... It has a quote where the Avis hater says his heart will soar like a hawk.
Huh. Okay. Good. Well, I mean, hearts should soar.
City of Tucson sets new rules for food courts like the Pit on the east side. Let's see. That's another illegal immigrant story.
Aren't food things... governed by county health code.
This is
a zoning thing.
This is zoning, like, gotcha. how long they can be open. So they say they can only be open from 7 to 10, and the guy is like...
How much generator exhaust can be in your food? Right. That kind of thing. Okay, gotcha.
And of course, the guy... Well, we'll talk about it. Like, what if you're a coffee shop and you want to sell at 6? You're like a coffee truck? They're basically saying you can't do that.
Interesting.
So...
When people want coffee, you mean?
Correct.
Gotcha.
We'll give you the Biden cost of a Big Mac extra value meal before it's over. Not that I eat such things, but it's a little bit of a barometer. And then we had this story about the city of Tucson is raising fees conveniently 3 weeks after the election's over. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Didn't run on that platform, did they? If reelected, I will raise these fees.
But Lindy had a great line about what the garbage guys do to the garbage. We'll talk about that. Latino talk show host scorches New York mayor on migration. So Adams comes on Mega 97.9, and they got a DJ who speaks pretty much only Spanish. And he's sitting there, and the guy is going off on him, and there's a lady translating for the DJ about, what are you doing with all these damn migrants running through our city? And it's pretty fun watching this guy from 97.9 Mega
beat
up on Eric Adams. And then we might get to Wild Bill's column about the U of A and the missing quarter bill.
Okay.
So we'll do that. So let's go visit some great sponsors. I just went potpourri on a Wednesday.
Yeah, potpourri bias towards something that's going to make some Wakeys happy, I'm thinking.
Jen, and Mary, one third of the playlist is the Duranis. We got a little Trans-Siberian Orchestra and a little ELP today. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 6:21 in the morning, little Trans-Siberian Orchestra Christmas there. Let's get to a art. This is the Budley Do Wrong at KULD. So talking about the city council. I have a friend who works for the city, and he said that this is one of my favorite lines ever. When you watch a city council, you can't find, when you listen to these seven people talk, you just get dumber listening to the meetings. So this is about their RTA priorities, 38 projects. Second on the list are safety projects, more hawks that don't do anything. Third is a plan that widely deviates from the original. So pavement preservation's on the bottom of their list. Looks like if it's I'll say this, if it includes private payment preservation, my heart will soar like a hawk. If they do not, last time his heart soared like a hawk, he was on a Trio trip in San Diego. If they do not include pavement preservation, I just want to say the gauntlet's been thrown down about challenging the initiative, unquote. Thank you. Here's a good one. So this is how Bud Foster, these two sentences shows you why he's a hack. The city feels like it was shortchanged on the original half cent and was asking for 65% of the total in the next 20 years. Many city-related projects were pushed to the end of the first 20-year cycle, and now there's not enough money for the projects, hampered by a recession, which reduced the amount of sales tax and collected. So here's the best. There's so many good things here. One, the reason why they were pushed to the end of the 20-year cycle, which Bud forgets to tell you, is they front-loaded the money for their stupid streetcar. Remember that? Bud doesn't want to talk about that. Now he says there's not enough money for projects, hampered by a recession. Well, first of all, the idea that Bud said recession was refreshing. So Bud Foster's calling it a recession. I like that. Okay, but then at the same time, well, what caused the recession, Bud? All your Democrat buddies pumping all of this ridiculous fake money into the economy. Just want to let you guys know that. But city priorities have changed. Adding more pavement to the city is far down the priority list, especially for a city that prioritizes climate change mitigation. RTA Next is dead on arrival. I'm going to tell you, if they stick to all this stuff, it's over. And if somehow the other jurisdictions vote and they go yes and give Tucson everything they want, we will fight like you would never believe and shoot this down just like we did the 2015 bonds. Because letting the city of Tucson have our money to be idiots with money is foolish. They want to change the voting structure so they get more votes. Now, I could have that discussion if they weren't so foolish. This is just like that drunk uncle who's got a gambling problem, and he's always it's like the uncle in Parenthood. He's always, he's been kind of an absentee dad. He's owing the loan sharks money, and every time you give him money, it disappears because he gambles it away and gets drunk. That's the city of Tucson. And they're going, hey, give us more money, bro. We saw Broadway.
and I'll make the argument that the voters will approve anything in Tucson. They approved this massive raise for this mayor and council, assuming it survives the recount. I'm not saying people should approve it. I'm just saying, I feel like Joey Rodolfo. I'm going to check. I see. I, I've seen the blueprint and I see how it's unfolding. And so they could put a lot of things on the ballot in the city of Tucson and get them passed.
Joey Rodolfo, he disappeared pretty quick. I think he got stepped on by a few people. You had your moment, Joey, and you blew it. So you're gone. You're never going to say a word again. That's what I see. You had your little tantrum, and he's never going to say a word again. He'll quietly come back for vacation. He'll never talk about Tucson again. He had a shot. He had a shot to be a guy of this national thing to do it. And I don't know what happened to him, but they stepped on him and he's over. So keep making clothes that's way too expensive for me. All right. Border Patrol says they arrested 2,700 migrants just on Monday.
One day.
Okay. And I love this story you're talking about. This is Lupita Murillo. I'm sure she called it an exclusive. Hurting her brain talking to Adelita Grijalva, saying that she needs more money for the Underground Railroad. Okay? And so, of course, like we kept saying, right, the Underground Railroad just attracts more people because the Pima County paid by you taxpayers Underground Railroad, I'm sure, is on the cartel brochure. Now, here's the other thing. Part of the Lupita Murillo story is among those helped by the money is a 38-year-old man from Honduras who's working 4 hours a day in Tucson. Hold it. I thought they were going off to other locations. Didn't they say that? When they tell you they're all going off to other locations, that's a lie. That's a big, fat, giant lie. But they told us. Now, we keep talking about the things they forget about and they don't want to talk about. This is Daily Mail 2 days ago. At least 400 female and child migrants have been brutalized in rape tents along the infamous Darien Gap while making journey to U.S. Tents set up in Central American jungle for sole purpose of raping migrant women and children who can't pay bribes to criminal gangs. Most victims of rape are women, but children as young as 11 years old are being sexually assaulted. Where are you, Raheena Romero? Why isn't that on your Twitter page?
How come AOC's not crying over this one?
Yep, remember, oh, they're in cages. The new report, in October alone, there was 107 rape survivors, including 59 in a single week treated by a medical organization. The youngest victims were 11, 12, and 16. An estimated 460,000 migrants have crossed the Darien Gap so far in hopes of making it to U.S. Armed groups of men demand money from migrants. Most have spent their life savings to make the trip north just to be allowed through the gap. Those who can't pay it are subject to abuse from unwanted touchings to rape in front of other migrants or in tents set up to assault victims. So where's cinema? Where's Mark Kelly? Where's Raul Grijalva? Where's Romero? Where's Adelita Grijalva? Where's Rex Scott? Where's your outrage?
Yeah.
I thought you
Barstool
keep saying
Sport. They don't, you know, they lose their marbles over Barstool Sports. Yet this is rape. This isn't, you know.
So where's the first Latina mayor standing up for Hispanic Latina women getting raped in a tent? You people make me sick. Let's get to a real mayor. Mayor Ed Honey calling in next from Marana. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. 6:34 in the morning. You're on Wake Up, Tucson. One of our wakies, Kane, put on his Facebook page, I'm in my car 50% of the day visiting clients' offices, and I was done with talk radio except for Christy Simone's show. After that, I switched to Sirius XM, and then he talked about listening to the Pitbull station. And the lyrics in a song that he heard on the Pitbull station. And I said, thanks for your listenership. I'll try to get this past Matt Neely for bump music today. He'll break the dump button on this one. It was one of the listeners talking about a song he heard on the Pitbulls station.
Okay.
Literally, you would hurt your back and your fingers slamming that that bump.
Okay.
So when you're on Facebook later, you'll see it. So
gotcha.
Don't do it during business hours, though.
Of course not.
7-9.
Only my bookie.
790-2040. Let's go to the phones. Friend of the show who will be at the Christmas party with Mayor Tom Murphy, a double mayor shot power. It's Mayor Ed Honey from the great town of Marana. Ed, good morning, amigo.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You called me up a little fired up yesterday with very short notice. Governor Katie Hobbs decided to close down the state prison in the great town of Marana. Give us the story.
Yeah, it was an absolute mess. I'll give you a little preface on how this started. I was in California. I went because my kids and grandkids were there. Don't hold it against me.
We won't.
I got a call from the governor's office. Could we call you at 1:15 on Monday? And I'm like, that's kind of odd. You know why? But I said, yes. So I get back and to get to the chase at 1:15, I get a call from somebody I know that works in the governor's office. And she tells me, hey, we're going to shut down the MTC state prison. And I'm like, what do you mean? Nobody's been talking to us about it. There's nobody calling and saying, what else could we do or how could we make it work or anything else. Come to find out, I got a call at 1:15. Somebody from the governor's office went to talk to Jeremy Casey, the warden at the prison, at 1:15. Terry Rosema, town manager, had somebody come and meet with him at 1:15.
It's like a Godfather movie. Okay. Everything happened at the same time.
And Justine Wadsack, senator for our district, was contacted at 1:15. All of us told that, hey, your minimum security prison facility will be shut December 31st forever. No, you know, hey, call us a couple months ahead of time, work on the policy and everything else. And I obviously was pretty upset. There's 86 people that work out there full time. Merry Christmas, Marana residents. You're out of work at Christmas time. And, I was told, well, some of them could go to Wilmot and work, and some could go to Phoenix and work, and some can go to, I think, Human and work. And the problem is, these are not real high-paying jobs to begin with, but they worked in the area. These people are not going to go to Yuma. They're not going to go to Phoenix, and it's going to be very difficult to even drive to the other side of Tucson to work. And so it put all of these people out of work. Obviously, this was pre-planned. The next morning, Tuesday morning, the governor was out bragging about how she saved the state $10 million. Didn't say anything about putting 86 people out of work right before Christmas, but it's just a horrible event. I just can't believe people would be treated like this. The MTC Corporation that runs the minimum security prison does a phenomenal job. They educate the young men there. I go every quarter to their graduations. They have 10 to 15 young men that get a GED. It gives them an opportunity when they get out of this minimum security prison, maybe to get a job, because now they have the equivalent of a high school diploma. They've done so many good things in our community. They provide work crews to keep the streets and roads clean at a very minimal cost to us, which saves taxpayers in Marana a lot of money. Anyway, this thing was just an absolute complete shock. And, you know, to put things in perspective, there are 7 private operated prisons in Arizona. Marana is by far the smallest. Marana can handle up to 529 inmates. Most of the rest of them can handle 900 and above. we were the only facility in Arizona shut down. Why?
You're the only one that doesn't want to give Raheena Romero everything she wants on the RTA? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
I really don't know. I asked them if it was political. You know, I said it's a community in southern Arizona, about 60,000 people, fairly conservative and everything else. The Romero thing didn't come up. I mean, that's another issue we could talk about. But, yep. You know, this I'm really concerned that this 86 families, right before Christmas, is told they're out of work without any warning. You know, most businesses or industries, we give you a couple-month warning. Hey, we're thinking about doing this. You need to start looking for other work, or you need to start doing whatever. Instead, they just throw these people out in the street.
Well, I mean, the thing you need to do is I think you need to get out there and not just talk to us at Wake Up Tucson, but I think you need to get out, get your comms people to get you on the camera and the local TV news and say, Scrooge McHobbs just screwed over 86 families for Christmas. That's
well,
what I've been doing.
Do that, and I've been working with a lot of people. I've been talking to Senator Wapsack, and she has already contacted Senator Peterson, the president of the Senate, and he's working on it. Yesterday, I talked to Teresa Martinez, who used to be our rep here and now is in District 18, but she's the majority whip for the Arizona House, and she's going to talk to Toma, the Speaker of the House. I'm not going to take this laying down. It's just there's something that stinks about this, the way this thing was done. And
Matthew,
if you put it in perspective, Steve, of the billions of dollars Arizona spends, saving $10 million in Marana doesn't seem to work that well.
It feels like we got crime. The other thing is, it feels like we got crime going off the wall in this state, and they're saying that they don't have enough prisoners. Where are they going? Are they or all of these, you know, prosecutors not sending anyone to jail anymore, or judges? What's going on?
Well, what happened is during COVID, they tried to turn as many prisoners as they could out. But now with the, I'm not going to mention Laura Conover by name or any of those people, they're not sending criminals to prison, even if they have three DUIs or two or three minor drug charges. Usually they will go to minimum security prison for a couple years to try to get them straightened out. Those people are not coming anymore. But what I want to know is, why aren't any of the prisons in Florence or in Phoenix or, you know, in Eloy being shut down? Why is the only prison in Arizona being shut down in Marana, Arizona?
So, Greg, Matt wanted to say something. Matthew.
All I'm going to say is, the city of Tucson will have 12 public meetings over whether they should install a splash pad in a park, or where they should put a curb cut for a coffee place, or, oh my God, we've got a swing set that's broken in Rita Ranch. We need to have several public meetings to reimagine what a public park looks like. And these guys are closing down a facility with no prior notice to the people around, to the officials around, no prior planning with anybody. No meetings, no nothing. So, yeah, the suddenness and the coordinated dissemination of the message at 1:15 on Monday, both of those things are very suspect.
Amen, brother.
Well, and like the governor bragging about it the next day, saving the state $10 million, how much do they lose on the other prisons?
Right.
You know, prisons aren't money-making businesses.
Correct.
And I don't hear them bragging about 86 families being fired instantaneously with no warning right before Christmas. It just makes me sick that there's they seem that like they just do not care.
It's I've never been impressed with Katie Hobbs one way or the other, so I can't say I'm surprised, Mayor Ed, by the move, but it's pathetic, and it feels political to me. It feels that's just my take. I'm just going to say it feels political. Two of your LD17 legislators walked out on her in the middle of her state of the state, so they don't have a good relationship. I'm just saying, feels political. Someone can prove me wrong.
I fight political battles all the time, and I understand that, different ideologies.
Yep.
But there's 86 families attached to what happened.
Well, you need to do the barnstorming tour and get it on local news, and because the Wakeys are going to be on your side on this discussion, but you need to get out there and the average person who I feel like you need to do an op-ed in the Star. That guy's printing anything right now, so I'd get him while he's hot, and I'd do a full-blown thing here.
One thing I would ask your Wakey listeners. I'm in LD-17, and the prison is as well. If you're in 18 or 16 or whatever, call your state senator, call your state reps, and ask them what's going on here and why they had to come to Southern Arizona to shut the prison down. We're the furthest south prison, I think, in the entire state.
So one of the listeners was saying, Carl says, makes you email that Wake Up Tucson makes you wonder if the company running the prison is the governor has the issue with, not so much Marana. Now, to that, I was looking at the KTAR story on this. I had to go to a Phoenix radio station to get news. And the same company, let's see, management and training will end. But it says they also, the rest of it says the ADCRR, which is the Arizona Department of Corrections, operates total 15 prisons, six of which are private. So it says MTC, other prisons, including the Arizona State Prison in nearby Tucson. So the thing about, where's the one in Tucson's over off of Wilmot? Like, is that the one they're talking about?
Yes. That's a state prison. I think there's two prisons over there, one's federal and one's state. And they're talking about some of these people could go work there. It's going to be a real hardship. You know, a lot of these families out here have one vehicle and all that kind of stuff. They have to drive 45 minutes through rush hour traffic on I-10 going to and from work. And like I said, it just stinks. I'm working with both houses of the legislature. I am going to be calling some of my friends in the television news media as well. But we're not going to take it laying down. We're going to fight for our people.
I love it. You want to hold on? We'll do a little RTA talk after the break.
Sure.
All right, let's hold on. We're going to visit some great sponsors. We're talking to our friend Mayor Ed Honey from Marana. He will be at the Wake Up Tucson Christmas party at White Stallion. WhiteStallion.com. Go to the gift shop and get in the party. It's December 15th at 5:30 at White Stallion Ranch. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. 6:52 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Fair amount of Duran Duran in there for Jen and Mary, so be ready. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Welcome back to Mayor Ed Honey from the great town of Marana. Mayor Ed, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you, Chris. Looking forward to the party. Tom and I are going to come out and try to mix it up a little bit with everybody.
I love it. And again, what a great place to do it at the White Stallion Ranch. So it's going to be beautiful.
It's a beautiful place. Everybody will really enjoy themselves.
Again, that's December 15th, 5:30. Go to WhiteStallionRanch.com. WhiteStallion.com, excuse me. And then you hit the gift shop button, and then you can buy your ticket right there. Includes a cowboy buffet with barbecue chicken, slow roasted ribs, all the fixings, Christmas cookies, Christmas music, and we're going to have a little fun with a game thing I'm concocting. So it should be very, very fun. Mayor Ed, what's the status of RTA 2.0? What's shaking?
Well, RTA is really hitting some bumps in the road right now.
Well played.
I'm actually the chairman of that board. I mean, I still get one vote like everybody else, but The big mix-up right now is Marana, Oro Valley, Sarita, and really Pima County want to do capital projects, improving intersections, widening roads to help people get around the community more safely and more quickly. What the Tucson people are wanting to do is spend all the money on transit. And we find that kind of odd since nobody rides the transit they have now. Why do you want to double up? Well, I mean, seriously. And why do you want to double up on transit? And Amanda Moss, who's one of their reps on the CAC, Citizen Advisory Committee, said, well, if you take away the roadways, you'll force them to ride the bus. And Tucson is 260 square miles. Marana's 125. We're so spread out, transit doesn't work for us like it does, say, in Portland or Seattle, which are more densely smaller area, but densely populated areas. You'd have to catch a taxi or an Uber 10 miles to get to the bus to ride it. It just doesn't work here, but that's the left-wing political woke ideology right now, is everybody should ride transit, even if you have to walk 4 hours to get the transit to ride it. But so we're fighting some battles right now.
The and the timing of this would be to put, if there was an agreement to put this on a ballot, we're talking what, spring 25?
26.
Spring 26.
26 on the ballot, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
You were talking about how many projects Tucson lost. I'll tell you, I'm the only one left that was involved in the original RTA plan. The city of Tucson asked for their projects to be pushed toward the end of the plan so that they could spend all their money on the choo-choo train. And so we did. And they didn't lose a whole lot of stuff. Tucson lost two projects. Marana lost one, and the county lost one that didn't make it into this RTA. And they're scheduled to be the very first projects in RTA next. So they weren't mistreated. I don't know if I mentioned it took 8 years to get Broadway to the point that we could do something, and it wasn't even close to what was in the plan approved by the voters.
Well, that's the other thing, right? They keep talking about the voter. The voters said this, and they didn't do what the voters wanted. The hypocrisy is overflowing.
But I will say one thing. I know you're not necessarily a big RTA fan, Chris, but RTA, if used properly, can be really good for the people of our region. But look at that beautiful Iron Road interchange.
No, my thing with RTA is I like RTA. One of the things I champion about RTA is that one municipality, one vote dynamic. I think it's one of the things that why it makes it palpable.
We've always, you know, they wanted to do, when we originally started, a guy, you probably heard of him before, CH was his initials, wanted to do a thing where the city got three votes, the county got two, and everybody else got one. And we said, if you want to do that, we're just going to walk away right now. That was Marana back then. I can tell you the city has since brought it up again that they wanted three, or I think they wanted five. The county, they would give the county three, Marana two, and everybody else won. And we said, that doesn't work either. So we're still at one entity, one vote. It's the regional, strong on regional, transportation authority. And projects that we do should be regional in scope. The Iron Road interchange is in Marana, but it is a huge benefit to the city of Tucson and Pima County residents.
Absolutely.
Going to work or school. And I would like to see it move forward. And you had talked about you wouldn't support it if the city gets everything they want. I won't either.
Yeah.
And it's so touchy The last time the RTA passed, I think it was about 50-50 in Tucson, and really Oral Valley and Marana pushed it over the top because we had a much higher approval rate. But I would like to see the RTA. I would like to see Cortero Interchange redone. I would like to see Tangerine Interchange done just like Ina. And that's in the plan. And there's some really good things that can happen.
So when I see these, we only have like 30 seconds, but when I see the city of Tucson wants to do these projects that are just for their little interior parts, whether it's transits or bikes or whatever, that's not interested in being regional. That's just using the RTA money as a slush fund to do stuff that they don't have to pull out of their general fund.
Yeah, I think so. The city's used to being the bully.
Oh, they're still the bully.
Big enough now. If you want to bully, you're going to end up bullying by yourself.
Well, you know, now that CH, that guy in the tight bike outfits you were talking about before, is gone, they are now the bully, is the city of Tucson. So.
Well, we're working well with the county right now, to be honest with you.
All right, we'll see you at the Christmas party, my friend.